You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Welcome to Soul Survivors, podcasting from a Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, Korea. Soul Survivors is your weekly podcast about surviving and thriving in Seoul, Korea, as an ESL teacher. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, John and Sarah. And Sarah, why don't you introduce yourself? How old are you? Where do you live? And how long have you been teaching in Korea?
Well, as you said, my name is Sarah. I'm 28 years old, about to be 29 in 1 month. Currently, I'm living in Bundang, which is a suburb just south of Seoul, and I teach at Hagwon. I've been here for about 3 years.
Wow, 3 years. And John?
I'm John. I live here in Seoul. I'm 40 years old. This is a second career for me, just starting out, so I'm still learning the ropes, not only with being a teacher, but teaching in Korea and living in Korea.
And what was your career before, John?
I was in the military for 20 years. I was a journalist.
20 years? Wow. And Army, Navy, Air Force?
Navy,
really?
Pretty much all over the world. First part of my career was in the Far East and finished up most of the rest in America and in Europe.
Wow. Did you serve aboard a ship?
Several.
Wow. Anything cool? Aircraft carrier?
A couple of aircraft carriers. A wide variety. One of my commands, we took whatever ship was out there that we needed to take, took it. So I got to go on almost all kinds of ships except submarines, on which you could not get me without Thorazine.
But I heard the food's really good on submarines.
If I wasn't conscious for it, I wouldn't be able to eat it. So I know.
Good idea.
Yeah. And Sarah, what's your history? What was your major, Sarah?
My major was telecommunications, which is kind of a misnomer because it was basically radio, television, film production.
Okay.
But then I'm overeducated and have a master's degree too in information and communication sciences.
Okay. All right. And what part of America are you from?
I am from the dirty, dirty South. You know, the dirty South.
Florida. Which part of Florida?
Orlando. Disney World is in my backyard. Yeah. It still is the most magical place on earth, really.
I agree. And John, where are you from, John?
I was born in Florida.
We
escaped to Southern California, the other Disneyland.
Right.
Before the darn Disneyland opened in or outside of Paris, I was able to say that I had been to all three Disneylands in the world.
But okay.
So now I have to get to Paris.
You have a lot of places to visit there.
Wow. And I didn't mention I'm Canadian. I'm from Toronto. But you know, Florida is kind of like, you know, where Canadians love to go on holiday.
We call them snowbirds.
Yeah,
snowbirds. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're all angry with your driving.
Oh, really? Are we bad drivers?
Yes.
That would be maybe the French Canadians, I think, is the.
It might be because I remember always seeing the Quebec, you know, license plate, Je me souviens, or whatever it says.
Yeah, je me souviens. I'm half French Canadian. I can't even pronounce that. I don't know. Yeah. The thing about Canadians, though, it's like we like to go to Florida, but people get killed all the time in Florida.
It's true.
You know, it's kind of, it's like got the sun and the beach, but it's scary to
so
Canadians.
It's got murder. Yeah. Right.
But I always think, you know, it's like, well, if you were living in Florida, where do you go on vacation?
I don't think you do.
That's why people kill each other in Florida. They just don't have any place to go.
It's like, very it's well, like, maybe true.
You go to California.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, there's beach. Right. Palm trees, Disney, you know.
Less humidity in California.
That's true, it's nicer.
Quite a bit, yeah.
All right, cool. And Sarah,
yeah.
Do you teach now? What kind of school do you teach at, Sarah?
I'm at a Hagwon right now, and I teach kindergartners. I have a class of lovely, lovely little seven-year-old girls.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. So lovely. Note the sarcasm.
I guess we should explain the term Hagwon.
Hagwon.
Yeah. What is your definition of Hagwon?
My definition of Hagwon, it's just a private school in which students can learn English, as opposed to a public school.
Right, okay. And John, where do you teach?
I work at one of the English villages here in Korea.
And what's an English village?
It's essentially, I equate it to English language Disneyland. It's a big camp set up with a few dozen different classroom settings, from restaurant to magic show to dozens of different things, and we teach situationally.
So it's
kind of
like
kids anywhere from kindergarten to middle school.
It's kind of like an immersion thing, where the kids are
total immersion.
Okay. Do they sleep there, or
there are different programs? Okay. The usual program is a 1 week. And they do indeed sleep there. They also have kids in on a daily basis for a week-long program, but they go home at night. And then there are weekend programs.
Do you have to supervise them if they're there overnight?
I do not. There are paid staff to do that.
Good.
Handlers, yes. But Hagwon is kind of maybe people back home might like cram school kind of thing, where I think, you know, the children go to their normal school. They go to a normal elementary school. And then at the end of their normal school, they go to night school, kind of a cram school. Everything they were taught during the day, now they kind of relearn it at night.
And there are all sorts of Hagwons here. I've seen Lego Hagwon before. You go to the Lego Hagwon to learn how to put things together with Lego.
You know, the most interesting Hagwon, there were these, not Jewish Hagwons, but they were kind of like Hagwons based on the Jewish educational system.
Really?
Have you seen these?
I have never seen that.
Not heard of it.
It confused the heck out of me. There was one near my apartment, and I'm like, yeah, are there Korean Jews? You know, I'm like, there must be.
They're Korean Christians.
I've asked about that before, and I've been reassured that by Koreans that there are no Jewish Koreans.
Wow.
I don't know why, you know, there couldn't be.
But eventually someone told me, I was like, no, it's just that the Jewish educational system that Koreans, a lot of Korean parents, think it's, you know, the best system in the world because they're doctors and lawyers and engineers, and they you know, what sort of Korean parents aspire their children to become.
You go by results.
Right. Each one of these podcasts, we're going to have a main topic, a topic related to working as an ESL teacher in Korea. And our topic for our very first podcast is what kind of person is actually cut out for teaching in Korea? You know, who should come to Korea to teach, and probably who should maybe not come to Korea to teach. You know, sort of my personal feeling is, you have to come with your noble aspirations. You know, you have to want to actually teach children. And if you're just kind of coming here like, well, I got a student loan to pay off, and, you know, beer's like $2 a glass, you know, $2 a bottle, then it's like, that's maybe not the, you may not be very successful in your 1 year contract here. But at the same time, you have to sort of understand that, you know, when you come here, teaching's not like the movies. I mean, did you ever see like Dead Poet Society?
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of
not that noble.
Exactly. It's like, you know, those movies, they lie to you. It's
a tad grittier than that. Yes.
Yeah. It's as if, you know, all you gotta be is you just gotta be this cool teacher, you know, and you gotta, you know, you wear maybe like a Che Guevara T-shirt, and, you know, and the kids are like, get up on desks and dance or something, you know, and it's not like that, you know.
Yes, being cool so does not work with these kids.
No.
Because you lose respect so quickly, and then they just walk all over you. And
absolutely. You spend all your time, as you come here, and you're like, well, you know, how can I open up these children's eyes to this big, huge, beautiful world? And then you actually start teaching, and then you're like, how can I just get them to shut up for 5 minutes? That's all I want to know. How can I get them to shut up?
How can I get them to repeat this word?
Exactly. Or even speak English, right?
Right.
John, John, what do you think? What do you think is the person cut up for teaching?
Everything you said, plus an openness. You need to be open, you need to be flexible. If you've got a lot of ideas about the way things should be,
right,
you need
just to get on another plane somewhere else, because I don't think it's... you're just setting yourself up for disappointment and anger and not success.
That's true. And Sarah, you've got a cold, Sarah.
I do.
Yeah, so you know, people with weak immune systems, would you recommend they teach?
No, not at all. Before I came to Korea, I did not have asthma, but then I recently went to the doctor and found out I do now, so...
Really?
Yeah, I found that really odd.
You think it's like maybe the pollution or the...
It may very well be. That's why I don't live in the city.
Right, okay.
You're, I think it would be worse.
We mentioned where you're in Bundang, right?
Right.
Kind of sort of a suburb.
Right.
Kind of a, it's like the most Western-style suburb, you know, in Korea. They have detached houses with garages.
And nice things, like we have European cafes, tree-lined streets,
yeah.
And beautiful things like that.
That's so. Quite nice, yeah.
Another health issue people might want to consider is that it's a very moldy country. There's
yes.
a mildew factor here. If you are mold-sensitive...
Mold.
That and do not live in a basement apartment.
Right.
Are the mold is there.
Are there silverfish?
I've never run into those, but I've heard of people that have, that and other creepy crawly little creatures.
But you guys are from Florida. I mean, there's no place in the world that has, you know, a leg up on Florida in terms of bugs. I mean, you've got
right.
bugs there that are like...
Big cockroaches.
Exactly.
Flying ones.
They fly. Yeah, I know. And they
scary.
You know. I've noticed in Florida, you know, like the backyards, people just... not fence them in, but have nets. Like, their entire backyard is under a net.
Yeah, we have screened-in porches mostly, I think.
Yeah. And, now John, you were in the military.
I was.
So you're kind of used to the hierarchy.
Right.
Do you find that helps at all?
I suppose so. As I say, I'm very new. I've only been working here for a couple of months, so I'm still navigating the hierarchy system just at my school. Among the biggest adjustments that I've had to make is that, you know, for all its ups and downs in the military, there is a rather hierarchy that is followed for the most part, and systems in place that help everyone know what they're supposed to be doing, when they're supposed to be doing it, and all of that. And there's not a lot of that here. Things are squishier in terms of... everyone knowing exactly what they're supposed to be doing when they're supposed to be doing it. Which I guess falls back on it, what I said before about being flexible and open. So I don't think I answered your question, but I don't think I'm able to yet.
Yeah, John's new. John's kind of like, he's going to be like our sounding board.
John.
Right.
Yeah, so John, you should be asking more questions, John.
I should be
That's
asking
right.
more questions.
Like, sort of like, you know, where can I buy Pop-Tarts? Things like that.
Because
actually,
I know.
My best friend sent me a whole bunch of Pop-Tarts recently.
Oh, really?
I love her.
Pop-Tarts are good.
But now you were in the military. Can you actually access the PX at the
no,
American
I can't.
Really?
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah,
well, I know.
No Thanksgiving turkey dinner for you.
Damn. So here's a question. People keep warning me about winter. Oh my God, winter. Oh my God, winter.
Winter.
How bad is winter if I lived the last 6 or 7 years in Maine?
Sarah, let me turn this over to you, Sarah.
I think that the winter here is pretty comparable to what you would find in America, like in Kentucky, or perhaps a little north, maybe Indiana, kind of like that. I mean, it's cold, but it's not too cold.
Okay.
Like, you have to wear a coat, and it snows and that kind of stuff, but it's,
okay.
it's nothing ridiculous.
Guy on my floor in my apartment, he was from Texas. One winter, he was just complaining to me. He's like, you know, they don't get rid of the ice on the sidewalks.
Ooh, yes.
You know, they don't salt the sidewalks. And I'm like, but I'm kind of thinking like, ice on the, you know, I had to really think. And I'm like, oh, I guess there is ice. But, you know, coming from Canada, you know, you spend your life on ice. You don't notice the ice. You just automatically adjust your little gait. And, you know, you
so
kinda,
there is ice. Yes,
see,
indeed,
I'm not, yeah, there definitely is ice. And I'm not, you know, being from Florida, I'm not used to walking on that. So I do fall down quite a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fall off curbs. It's a good time. So, you know, if you're from the south, expect to have lots of bumps and bruises all winter long.
Bring cleats.
Yes.
Cleats, wow. You know, one of the problems is a lot of teachers sort of come here and they've read about, that, you know, your school's owner is out to get you. And he's out to
yes.
steal from you. And he's
yes.
going to, and you kind of have this feeling like, you know, oh, I got to protect myself. And I think that the school owners, you know, they've probably had a problem with a teacher before. So they're kind of in this, I've got to protect myself. And so long-term planning in Korea is not a it's not a trait, you know. So that you have to kind of accept that, you know, that you're going to be told things at the last minute, and you shouldn't interpret that as, well, why didn't he tell me this, you know, a week before, you know, is he out to get me? You have to be prepared for that.
Flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility. And because once you start sort of acting like, this guy's out to get me, he's going to start acting like, is this guy going to just break his contract and, you know, fly home in the middle of the night?
The two attitudes feed off each other and probably create the situation you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, it's this ugly downward spiral. So I think there's a line of it. You know, don't blame on malice what you can blame on just incompetence and, you know, and a lack of planning.
See, I think it's rather sad when stuff like that happens because, you know, you have newbies coming in that are all nice and fresh for, you know, ready to teach English, but then you have some people who have been at the school for a couple of years and they're tired of basically being screwed, or what they, you know, think is being screwed, and they, you know, make the new person think that Korea is a certain way when it's really not. So there's a lot of influence in that way, but Koreans are not out to screw you.
Absolutely.
So just come in and
if you have a bad boss, your bad boss is not Korea.
Does not equate to all bosses.
Exactly.
Right?
That you have to sort of, you can't make that sort of generalization. But but there's definitely, you know, at a the Hagwon, our kind of schools, they are businesses, and there's a bottom line, and they're there to make money, and they want to churn bodies through the system, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, educational goals take a back seat.
Yeah, I've run into both online in a couple of the forums and at my school a couple of what we could classify as the jaded, wizened, battle-hardened, angry, bitter teachers. And I'm old enough to know not to, you know, to leave that where it is and let them be whoever they need to be and not listen to them. But if you're a wide-eyed ingenue, you need to remember to not take on board everything you hear from the wizened, wizened, battle-hardened, bitter, angry people.
And then you'll think everybody's out to get you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always found that my sort of career in Canada and America, no business is well run. You know, people don't know what they're doing, and they don't take responsibility, and they try to shift, you know, their jobs around. And the situation isn't much different here. And if you've not sort of had that kind of experience, and you come prepared to be, you know, to be taken advantage of, you know, you begin to sort of interpret that as here we go. Right. And Sarah, any other ideas about who should or shouldn't come to teach? What did you do to actually prepare? Did you do anything prepared to teach?
No, I completely just fell into coming to Korea purely by kind of by accident, you know, maybe fate or something. You know, I sent out my resume. No, I posted my resume at monster.com, and a recruiter picked it up, and 2 weeks later I was in Korea. So just very fast. But people must remember, Korea is not Japan. A lot of people come here thinking that, you know, Korea is going to be exactly like Japan and cool and all this kind of stuff. Not that Korea is not cool, but
differently cool.
Korea is different, but, you know, people come expecting Japan and it's not. But
And John, you've been around the Asia with the Navy.
I have.
Okay, and how do you find Korea compared to sort of other Asian nations?
The other Asian nations I've been in, well, I spent quite a bit of time in Japan.
Okay.
So I guess they're the model from which I compare all the others. I see Korea as having, Korea and Koreans as having a little bit of the passion of, say, some Southern European countries. They're more emotional, they're more passionate, they're less of the calm facade that seems necessary in other Asian countries I've been to.
A lot of times they refer to Korea as being the Irish of Asia.
Oh, okay.
In that sort of, it's you know, yeah, the passionate kind of people. But
that makes sense.
The Irish of Asia. Huh? Never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it's because, you know, they like to drink too. So
this is true. Yeah. Often drunk by 4:30 in the afternoon. Yeah.
There's a lot of drinking goes on here, and which I've never been to Ireland, but you know, I've heard the stories. Yeah, I've seen that skit on Saturday Night Live.
You know? Of course.
So, yeah, but recently, because with the call it the Korean wave, with Korean music and fashions and movies being very popular in Asia now, they've changed. Now they call themselves the Italians of Asia.
Italians of Asia.
That's the new one. So they still kind of retain the passion, but now it's the fashion, stylish, and yeah.
I don't know. We have some weird fashion around here. Pretty cool, though.
Well, actually, you know, that brings us to another good topic. Is another feature we're going to do every week is our English T-shirt of the week.
I hate myself and I want to die. English T-shirt finds.
Now, I guess, you know, to be fair, in North America, you see people sort of sporting a lot of T-shirts and even tattoos with, like, you know, Chinese characters.
Right.
And there's actually quite a good website where people, they email photos of their tattoo, their Chinese character tattoo, and say, you know, well, the guy said it means love, and then this guy on the website, he's like, you know, it means, like, goat or something.
Nice. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So,
goat love. Nice.
Yeah. So, I think maybe Japan is maybe a bit worse for the English, but I mean, you do see the English T-shirts here. John, have you seen any sort of interesting English T-shirts?
I can't think of any T-shirts off the top of my head, but I see street signs. Like I saw one for an evangelical church.
Evangelical.
Evangelical church, and it wasn't like, you know, a handwritten sign. This was an actual sign that presumably an evangelical church paid to get made. So there's my English.
Sarah, have you seen? You know, one thing I've noticed is, like, when I went back to Canada, one of my male friends, he was like, no, bring me an English T-shirt, something that's very English.
What people want.
Yeah, exactly. And so I went to, you know, Dongdaemun, but I went to the men's floor. The fancy floor or something. They have a strange name for men's clothing, like the, you know, the male fancy floor.
And men are fancy, though.
Yeah, fancy. So I couldn't actually find any male English T-shirts. Seems much more of a female thing. Like, there's all kinds of great female English T-shirts, but
give us one.
Well, you know, there's like, Ditch Him is kind of a very popular one. I see all these women wearing, you know, Ditch Him, the exclamation mark. And I was actually talking to one of my Korean friends, and I'm like, she showed me a photo of her friend, and her friend was wearing this Ditch Him T-shirt. I'm like, do you know what that means? And she's like, no. It means, you know, break up with your boyfriend, but do it in a very kind of cruel and sudden manner. And she's like, oh, I will tell her that. I don't think she knows that.
That might be important.
Maybe I shouldn't wear this.
So, you know, actually, what I did eventually get my friend is a T-shirt, and it had like a Korean character on it. And it had a Korean character on the front and a Korean character on the back. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Not a character, like a Korean word on the front and a Korean word on the back. Because Koreans don't have, like, Chinese characters are sort of, pictograms. They mean a whole word, but Koreans actually have letters. And so there was a Korean word on the front, Korean word on the back. And so, you know, I brought him the T-shirt, and I didn't really know what it said, but later on I asked my friend, what does the T-shirt say? And she said, well, on the front, the word is front. And on the back, the word is back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you know how to put your shirt on.
Yeah, exactly.
If you know Korean.
Exactly. You know, but, actually, have you bought underwear? No, I guess you've only been here 3 months, so you probably haven't had a chance to buy underwear.
I don't need underwear yet, but the day will come.
I bought some underwear here, and the tag is on the front with, like, you know, the little vents.
On the front. Wouldn't that be irritating?
Yeah, so versus, you know, where it's on the back with Western underwear. So, you know, you're going quick in the morning time, and you grab your Korean underwear versus, you know, your Western underwear, which is still good, and you're trying to, like, you know, okay, the tag goes in the back, and the little vents go in the front. And, like,
morning, I'm confused. Yeah,
and you spend about 5 minutes just spinning your underwear around until you're like, oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. I I have fun visuals with that one.
Yeah. So sorry, Sarah. Have you found any cool English t-shirts?
Maybe not cool as much as kind of racist. But recently, I've seen a t-shirt, nice pink t-shirt with the writing said "Arrest Black Babies."
Oh my god!
And it had a picture of a little baby with an afro in handcuffs.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'm like, okay, do they really want to be wearing this? But
wow.
Quite interesting there.
Oh my God,
I need to walk. You know, one day I was in a store, and this woman, kind of middle-aged woman, just very proper woman, and she was wearing this t-shirt, and it said, "Too drunk to fork."
Yeah.
"Too drunk to fork." And I'm like, well, does she know what that t-shirt means?
She
most
should.
Likely not.
She yeah. should.
Or "Take Me Drunk, I'm Home." I saw that one today as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It was another one I saw. I was like, "I don't mind if you forget my name."
Oh my gosh.
Okay. That one's quite popular.
Or, "I'm really 16. There's another one.
"Juicy Girls."
Yeah, Juicy is kind of a big one.
Juicy.
Now, there is the fashion line Juicy, but I don't think that the, you know, Americans actually wear the Juicy logos like that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, there's one. It's like a Canadian D squared or something. Canada. Colon, you know, "Too effing cold."
Yes, I have seen this one. I've wanted to buy it on many occasions, but never have. Oh, have you ever seen any of your children, like small boys, wearing shirts that say "bride"?
Bride, really?
That was a popular a couple of years ago. No. Very interesting.
I did see one guy wearing a t-shirt, and it said, "Mama warned me about California boys."
A boy wearing a
quality.
Well, yeah. Mama might know what she's talking about.
I mean, even once at my school, one of the teachers, the math teacher, she had the F word on her t-shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, but it doesn't carry the same sort of weight here, you know.
It's you can wear it here and not feel bad because you're like, oh, maybe they don't know what my shirt says, but I know I'm having my own private chuckle.
It's like, are you aware? Like, it's called the Korean thumb. Have you encountered this? It's the Korean version of the finger in North America. Imagine you're playing that game, like, you know, the "I got your nose" game. You play with a small child, like, "I got your nose," and you sort of put your thumb between your middle finger and your index finger, and then you show the child, like, "I got your nose."
But
and
if you do that in Korea?
Yeah, that's actually, you know, kind of their version of the middle finger.
I did not know that.
Yeah, be very, very careful.
All right. Trying to rack my brain thinking if I've done that to any of my students for any reason.
I guess not.
In Korean news.
All right, another thing we're going to be doing on our podcast every week is a little in the news. Just sort of talk about what's happening in Korea in the news. Nothing really necessarily related to teaching, just about what's going on around us. It may affect our life in Korea, it might not. Korean newspapers, they've been running these articles, they call them dwaengjang women. Dwaengjang is kind of a bean paste. If you go to, like, Korean barbecue, it's this kind of yummy bean paste.
It's quite good.
Yeah, it's really good. And so I guess somebody on the internet coined this phrase, dwaengjang women, sort of women who are kind of materialistic, and what they do is they only want a boyfriend who has a lot of money, and they spend all their day putting on makeup, and they like to go to nice restaurants, and they're always taking pictures of the food they eat, and then they post it on their sort of the Psy World webpage. and so I guess, Korea is sort of up in arms about these women. Like, how dare these young women be sort of these materialists? And I began thinking, I'm like, well, in the West, that's kind of a negative trait, a woman who's maybe kind of like, well, how much money do you make? Mm-hmm. If you don't make enough money, I'm not going to date you, etc. But then I began to think, well, is that really a bad thing in Korea? If you think about it, what does the society sort of expect of Korean women? We're sort of in a society, I think, where women, when they get to about age 30, they're really expected not to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've got about three 30-something Korean women friends, and every one is like, you know, I can't lose this job. If I lose this job, I'll never get another job ever. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I'm over 30. I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, you know, the companies don't hire women over 30. They just want, like, young women, you know. And so, yeah. So it just sort of seems to me that if you sort of grow up in society where you don't expect to have a job after 30, and then, you know, your parents are like, well, you know, you should get married, you should have children, and that what is left to you other than to just marry somebody who has a lot of money?
Yeah, it's not marrying for love, just marrying for being comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was kind of the, I mean, you know, decades ago, that was sort of the thing, was sort of people were just like, well, you know, he's got a good job, I'll marry him.
Right, I mean, marrying for love is really kind of a modern invention.
Sarah, what do you think? Let's get the woman's perspective.
Well, in some ways, you know, it's kind of nice because, you know, I have a dream, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a kept woman, you know?
Right.
I don't know, it just kind of appeals to me. So, you know, I'm okay with it on that front, but
cool.
I don't know. Seeing some of these Korean women, they take it to a different level, I think. It's a little ridiculous to be only, like, putting on your makeup all day and snapping pictures of yourself. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't you have other interests? So, I don't know.
I haven't encountered them. I'm still very new here. But they sound as though they're roughly equatable to the 1970s, 80s Valley Girl.
Valley Girl.
It does, and if they are...
Yeah, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
yeah,
kind of go to the mall.
And if they are,
stuff.
I don't want to know them.
I can't believe you haven't seen it, though. Like, on any subway car that you would ever manage to sit on, there's at least one girl in there snapping pictures of herself.
Wow.
Cell phone camera. Well, a lot of women here, actually, they use their cell phone camera kind of like as a...
Like a mirror.
Yeah, like a makeup mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, high-tech, you know, not a compact. They just snap, 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 and then... All right, you know, it's good for, like, you know, back of your head or something like that.
I suppose that would be true.
All right, I'm good. I got it going on today. Okay, good.
Yeah, I do have to admit, though, that I have done that myself. Yeah, I'm quite fond of taking pictures of me, you know, the little selka. Well, look at me, I'm doing something.
Wow. John, one thing I've noticed, you know, men's bathrooms. I mean, you know, here the, the males are complaining about the Dwangjung girls, but, you know, if you ever go into a, you know, a men's bathroom... You know,
there's an awful lot of primping going on.
Yeah, there's a little bit of primping going on there. You know, to me, it's like, okay, I've entered the bathroom. There's a guy at the mirror, right? He's not even washing his hands. He's doing something. But, you know, it's like the guy role. You don't look at other men in the bathroom.
Right, it's a good place for conversations. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, like I said earlier, yeah, the Korean men, they're fancy. Yeah. I think they are. Their hair, oh, it's just so,
yeah,
you know, exactly. Well-constructed, well-done.
I'm hoping they get past this sculpted hair thing they've got going on.
On a little while back on one of the TV stations here, there was a show and it had some guy, it was like an instructional show showing people how to put on makeup. To put on makeup.
Okay.
Like do proper skincare and even put like concealer on and like lip gloss and this kind of stuff. I'm like, ooh.
Who's that guy, the face shop guy?
Oh, I can't think of his name.
Wow, he's celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, what's kind of funny is if you go to certain areas of Seoul where there's like a lot of sort of Japanese tourists, you just sort of see like Japanese women, they're stopping and they're just taking their photo with the face shop guy. I think that would be
Bae-yong-jun, maybe, because you can find his image like on socks. He was really popular in a Korean drama called Winter Sonata.
Oh, that guy,
the
right.
Scarf guy.
Right. What's his name? Yeon Sama.
Bae-yong-jun.
Right? Yeah, Yeon Sama is the Japanese call.
Oh, is that what they call him?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
kind of,
yeah. It's a, they sort of, it's like, you know, if you're in Japan, you can't have a... Can't just be called Henry, right?
No,
have to pick a Japanese name.
Of course,
yeah, exactly. And then, and then Sama is, I guess, some sort of honorific, which
right,
means
okay.
Like you've got superpowers or something. So yeah,
I want that honorific.
Yeah.
But I mean, coming back to my bathroom story, you know, yeah. So you walk in the bathroom, someone's at the mirror primping. You know, you go, you do your business, and you sort of come out, and the rule, I think, is. The guy at the mirror should be gone by the time you've done your business, right?
Right.
But that rule doesn't exist here. Okay. So you're kind of like, well...
I really like to wash my hands.
Yeah, I know. Because it's just like, I've got to wash my hands, you know.
Because, no, I have to put on my makeup.
I know.
And I'm a man.
I know. It's like, I got
I've got hair to do here.
week's teaching opportunity.
Right now we're going to teaching opportunity of the week. Every week we're going to sort of scour the job ads, and we're going to find a couple job ads that look pretty good. Now, we've not investigated these.
Not endorsing them.
Yeah, we're not endorsing them, but they look sort of above board. You know, we've been here, Sarah and I have been here for about 3 years, and John, you've managed to navigate the system and wind up at a decent school. Okay, yeah. So, you know, this is kind of our gut feeling. All right, these jobs we found on a webpage for Recruiter, Footprints Recruiting. I believe the website is www.footprintsrecruiting.com. You can also just sort of Google on it, Footprints Recruiting, and you'll find it quite quickly. The first job is in Nowon, Seoul. It's one position. It's a school. They teach students called returnees. And Sarah, well, maybe you explain, Sarah, what are returnees?
Returnees, I would say, are children that have lived abroad but are coming back to Korea for some other reason. They have a high level of English generally, and their parents just want them to keep up with their English studies.
Exactly, yeah. So it's always good to have students who sort of have a very high level English, and when you can talk to them. You know, like,
that's nice.
Exactly.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, no, they get your jokes. It's just not
exactly.
All... Exactly. You know, because with the other kids, it's physical comedy. You know, I kill you. So
or you tell a joke and you hear crickets.
I know, they're just sort of looking at you.
Wide-eyed.
So that's always kind of fun. And also, too, that, you know, sort of when... You know, the discipline sort of comes around. You can explain a bit more, like, okay, look, if you don't stop talking, you know, and throwing a paper and getting up and running around the classroom,
I will throw you out the window.
Exactly. You know,
and they get it.
Yes, and I know your mother speaks English, so I can actually call your mother. Not like the other kids I teach. I can call your mother.
I still threaten them with that, even if they don't speak English.
Yeah.
It's a good threat, guys.
All right. And let's see. And where is it? It's in Nowon, which is kind of northern Seoul. Nowon's actually kind of nice in that it has a lot of good grocery stores.
You've got, really?
You've got like you've got a Home Plus. You have
a Home Plus. Yeah. Best chocolate cake in Korea.
Yeah, you have a Home Plus. You've got a Lotte Mart. And then you've got a Carrefour. Carrefour is kind of like this French department store. I mean, never encountered it in North America, but Carrefour was good for was they've changed it recently. But before, Carrefour used to have bilingual labels. Everything was in Korean and
that
English.
Was true.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's kind of good when you first sort of come here. It's like, you know, is this salt or is this sugar? Like, what am I buying? Right. You know,
the packaging is very similar sometimes.
Yeah, so that was always kind of good, but they've changed it now. Now it's all kind of Korean lettering, but it's still pretty good. They've got really excellent coffee grounds. You know, it's like it's cheap too. It's like 3,000 won, which is like $3 for, you know, little brick. And it's pretty good. So
I haven't yet made it up there to Carrefour, but it's certainly on my list.
Yeah,
it's
quite
good. They also have a good selection of cheeses, which is, you know, important here. Cheese.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it is French. It is a French chain, so.
So expect the cheese.
And they have this bread that's like bread we eat, you know. John, have you noticed something strange about the bread here? Yeah, exactly. That's most people's first reaction.
Well, no, actually, that was just a cough. The only bread I bought has been actually from 7-Eleven, white sliced bread that's chewier than it should be.
It's really dense, I find.
Yeah, it's...
And sweet, too. That's kind of most people.
The sweet factor. I bought some tomato juice, thinking, oh boy, I can't wait to have a nice glass of tomato juice, except that it's sugared. It's so heavily sugared.
It's not good.
It's nasty.
You expect V8 type juice, and
right,
you know, that's not what you get.
It's almost tomato Kool-Aid.
You know, for about 2 years, I sort of like, why is the bread sweet? You know, like, why is the bread? And then eventually I found out that traditionally bread was like it was kind of a pastry. The first kind of flour based products were just, you know, pastries. So Koreans have always just assumed, anything made out of flour is a dessert. It's sweet.
It needs to be sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the reason. Yeah. But Carrefour has got this really good bread that just tastes like, you know, it's like you would never think you would miss Wonder Bread. until you
sometimes
moved.
Sometimes you just need it.
Yeah, until you moved to Korea, it's just this nice white bland,
soft and squishy.
Bread. Yeah,
something so you just put like mayonnaise on and ham and have a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, coming back to this job, no one. Yeah, so no one's good for grocery stores. It's a tiny bit remote from all the sort of the fun in Seoul, but it's not. It's on the subway line, and it's quite easy to get down to sort of, you know, the downtown and all the cool places. What else is cool about this job? Salary is really good. It's like 2,000 to 2,700, sorry, 2 million to 2,700,000 won per month, which is like about $2,000 to $2,700 a month, which may not sound like a lot, but the tax rate's about 3.5%, right. So your take-home is like this huge.
Your money goes a lot farther.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I kind of...
Plus, there's... Sorry, John. I assume there's, as usual, as with most jobs, there's a free apartment or housing allowance thrown in to...
Yeah, absolutely. Rent. Yeah, so... Well, my sort of back-of-the-envelope calculation's always been that when you take into consideration how much you can save a month, usually you can save about, it depends, your lifestyle, but the traditional figure is about $1,000 a month. You can save $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Rent's free. You get a free apartment. And then you've got a pretty good lifestyle. You don't have to worry about, watching your pennies and stuff like that. So in Toronto, to have a one-bedroom apartment, to save $1,000 a month, you got to be earning about $45,000 a year. And that's full-time. And a lot of teaching positions aren't even full-time. Like, this job is... this job is actually full-time, eight hours a day.
Well, you can find it for much less.
Yeah.
So previous jobs at high school, I taught 10 hours a week.
Yeah. So it's like they'll take, 30 hours a week. So that's, that's... And that might not even be all teaching hours. Sometimes they measure it, when they say an hour, they don't really mean an hour, they mean a teaching hour, which could be 50 minutes, which could be 45 minutes, which could be 40 minutes. This is my school, it's 40-minute teaching hours. So you have a lot of free time, and it amounts to basically a 40K part-time job, which is, if you're a recent graduate, is not... Where can you get
deal.
That?
Somewhat decent. Yes.
Exactly. I've got a BA in geography. And what can I do with that?
I've got a BA in exercise science. Let's go.
And teach English.
Yeah. So definitely, if that sounds good, visit the Footprints recruiting site. And the other one was in Jamshill. But this one's actually just, they want a female teacher. Jamshill is kind of on the card, Gangnam, which is sort of the South River. It's kind of a very new, sort of upper middle class kind of area. The salary is not super great. It's like 1.8 million to 1.9, which is, I think, it's a little below the average, which is about, 2.1 million, I think, is kind of a good base. But again, it's you get a free, fully furnished single apartment. John, do you have your own apartment?
It works out to my own room with an attached bath.
So?
It's a room with a bath. It's a private bath.
Oh, okay.
So it's smaller than an actual, even a studio apartment. But okay. It's functional.
Oh, okay. That's so, but it's like your own...
But it's mine.
Okay,
all right. You have like a shared living area with your co-workers or something?
They'll end up with one. They're still building this and that.
Oh, so it's really? Kind of okay. Like just like a little suite kind of... Okay.
Do you have a kitchen?
I have a hot plate.
Ooh, okay.
A hot plate. Okay. See, it's better than my last year accommodations because I lived in the dorms with the kids, so I had no kitchen.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. It was a little bit troublesome.
But I'm not a cook, and I'm okay with not.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm okay with being able to boil water and make scrambled eggs, and that's about it.
Yeah, the crazy thing is it's sometimes cheaper to eat out here than to actually go to the grocery store, buy your food, and cook it yourself.
But I think that's true.
Yeah, so it's kind of, if you love to cook, then, whatever. But if you don't like, if you like to order out, then you can, it's almost the same price. I don't know. I like the idea of my own apartment.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot better.
Yeah, mine's actually kind of nice. It's like this loft apartment.
Have one of those. Yeah. Lucky.
And air conditioning too. Which is like, wow, these are really trendy, these kind of apartments in Toronto. And, you get it for free. So, but I never actually sleep in my loft. I just sleep on my futon in my living room because... you know, because the stairs are very, very narrow and very steep. And I'm just like, all right, I'm going to get up in the middle of the night, want to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to fall to my death.
You know? So it doesn't seem worth it, but it's a nice loft.
Yeah, so it became storage and loft.
Well, that's nice.
And now it's just kind of, it's more like my closet, where when I'm, you know, I take my laundry, and when my laundry's dry, I just throw it up into my loft and hope it lands on the bed I never use. So that's my, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm single.
You can live
no.
like that.
All right, so that job, if I mentioned, is 30 hours a week, Monday to Friday. But as a female, Sarah, why some jobs, your present school, they're only hiring females now. What's the deal?
I'm not exactly sure why that is, but yeah, we have a couple of males left over, but they're slowly getting weeded out. I think because maybe females are more gentle with the children, more nurturing. And well, there's one guy at my school in particular that the girl students are afraid of him just because, you know, in the West, he's no different than anybody else. He's just like a big, burly guy, but all the little girls, they see him and they run the opposite direction. So, but he's so nice,
wow.
But they just don't see this.
Yeah, my school, my old boss, she's moved on, but she was a great woman. One day she's like, you know, Carl, you are the first male teacher I've ever had that I haven't had to go to the police station and get out of jail.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So some schools got a little problem there, you know.
Maybe that's some insider.
Drink and fight. Drink and fight.
Yeah.
That is the male way.
Korean kids do the darndest things.
So another thing we're going to do every week is Korean kids say the darndest things. Probably the best thing about the job is, you know, teaching children. And children can be cute, I guess. You know, they can do some cute things.
Right.
That's really, I think, what carries you through. You know, it's like okay, I've had one class where they just spent the whole class yelling at them and trying to get them to shut up. But then. Those 2 8-year-olds just did the cutest thing, you know, in the next class, and that, you know, that kind of keeps you coming back for more. So, John, you're new. Have you encountered any kind of cute student things?
They curry favor by telling us how handsome we are.
Handsome teacher. I get, teacher, you are like Beckham.
Oh yes.
And I'm like, you know, okay, you know, however complimentary that is, the only, you know, it's sort of the only similarity is, you know, we're European heritage, and we both have, you know, really screwed up blonde hair. You know, it's like, thank you.
I really don't mind being flattered. It won't get you anything, but I love being flattered. Go ahead, handsome teacher. Good, yeah, Beckham.
Yeah, you get that a lot. That's quite nice.
And I was quite pleased a couple of weeks ago to have gotten an English name. A Korean name from my English Korean students.
So what is your
Jong-soo. Jong-soo. And I told them as they gave it to me that I would be certain to check with my Korean-speaking coworkers to find out, to make sure that they weren't giving me a name that I wouldn't have to be embarrassed about. Turns out it can mean, the teacher told me, clean water.
Clean water.
Clean water.
You sure it's not a he who rides a donkey or anything like that?
I have to trust my Korean coworker.
You know, my joke with my students is, they'll ask me, like, no, teacher, do you have a Korean name? And I'm like, yes, I have a Korean name. My name is Lee Song-han. And they're like, Lee Song-han? And then I kind of write it on the blackboard. Now, Korean, E becomes Lee for a name. So then I write it on the blackboard in Hangul, the Korean character set. So I write E Song Han. And it actually means strange in Korean. E Song Han. So then they kind of look at me, like, at least the eyes are kind of, you know, wide. And I'm like, yes, you know, the other class, they gave me that name. They said it means handsome. And they're like, teacher, it does not mean handsome. And I'm like, well, it kind of means like, well, not handsome so much, it means like kind of special, right? Yes, teacher, special.
Special as in poor retarded.
Poor things. Concerned for you.
What about you, Sarah? You used to teach at like a pottery school.
I did.
Right? And you lived in residence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're female. And mm-hmm. Where did they put you?
I lived on the same floor as the boys that lived in the dormitory.
The boys, okay.
Yep, the boys. And I don't know why that happened, but there was a male teacher at the school that ended up living on the girls' floor. So, you know, this leads to a lot of interesting stories. But one in particular, I was just walking through the hall, maybe about 9 o'clock at night, as I would do, and I open a door and run into a boy that is jump roping half naked, wearing a yellow stuffed monkey around his neck. I don't know what he was doing, you know, with the stuffed monkey around his neck, but it was just, you know, quite funny to walk in and see a 16-year-old boy in his underwear jump and rope. And, you know, that's kind of something I don't really want to see. He's my student. I'm like, but it was so funny, though, because he covered his chest, you know, like he was a girl and he ran away. But you wouldn't expect him to cover his chest, but run away.
So surely, Carl, you must have a good story.
Yeah, you know, well, last week I've got four boys and kind of a essay class, and they're about grade six.
That's an interesting age.
Yeah, yeah, middle school, I think they call it. During the break, the boys went down to the grocery store and they bought marshmallows. And now I have this theory that a language is only useful if it has a word for marshmallow. You know, I don't know. It's like French, it's guimauve. Yeah, but I don't know if there's a Korean word for marshmallow. But that's kind of how I
mushimaro.
That's my metric. I'm like, do you have a word for marshmallow in your language? And if they're like, no, then I'm like, that's not a useful language. So yeah. But anyway, so they I came into class and they're like, they have all these bags of marshmallows. And which is surprising in itself, because you just can't go to the Korean grocery store and buy marshmallows, right? They're just not, you know, it's not kind of the staple diet, you know, in Korea, marshmallows. So, but anyway, so they're eating marshmallows, but they're not really eating them with, you know, the gusto we would eat marshmallows. And they keep giving me their marshmallows to eat, and which is unusual, too, because I have a lot of conflicts with this class. Boy, I really yelled at one of the boys once. My mother's French-Canadian, and she calls it her French-Canadian temper. You know, my mother's just the nicest, sweetest woman in the world, but you can push her to a breaking point, and then she just lets go. And that's kind of like me, you know. And if the students are, they just know, you know, nice Carl teacher, you know. And then they push me to the breaking point, and then I just start yelling at a boy. It's just, they freak out. So anyway, so they're giving me their marshmallows, and not poisoned or anything
good.
Like that. You know, they dropped on the floor, so no. I look, no chalk powder or hair or anything. But so I'm like, oh, these are great. And they're like, oh, well, teacher, we don't like them. Koreans don't eat marshmallows. So I'm like, well, why? Well,
Why did you have several dozen bags?
Yeah, well, exactly. Why did you buy them? And like, well, they were Chungwon, which is 1,000 won. You know, there was a buck. I'm like, ah. And then I began to think, geez, $1 for a bag of marshmallows? Because if you find the marshmallows here, they're like about $3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I like to make Rice Krispie squares.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. But you can't buy Rice Krispies. So you gotta buy like cornflakes and then sort of crush them up, and then you can make, not Rice Krispie squares, cornflake crispy squares or whatever.
Squares.
Yeah. So I thought, well, that's a pretty good deal. So I bought them. I gave each of the boys, like, you know, 1,000 won. I bought the marshmallows because it was a huge deal. And then I'm like, you know, when I asked you how much the marshmallows were, you should have told me, you know, you should have named me a higher price because I would have paid it, you know. They're like, oh, stupid, you know. So
it's up to learn something.
You're
in school to learn.
Exactly. So then the next day, well, that night, or, you know, I made Rice Krispie squares. And so then I brought my Rice Krispie squares, cornflake crispy squares, into class, and the boys were there, so I gave them the Rice Krispie squares, and they were like, well, what is this, teacher? I'm like, just eat it. I didn't want to tell them it was with the marshmallows, but they'll reject it out of hand. Yeah. So they're like, oh, this is so good. I'm like, well, you know, remember the marshmallows, you know, I bought from you, I made Rice Krispie squares out of the marshmallows. So I'm like, you know.
You redeemed marshmallows for them.
Exactly.
Good.
Yeah.
So they,
I only like melted marshmallows.
Oh, we should. You should test them out on s'mores.
Ooh.
Oh, what are s'mores? Wasn't that
you don't know s'mores?
Well, like, what?
In a theoretical sense.
Graham cracker and graham chocolate cracker. And marshmallow all
melted and
melted and mushed together and. Were you never
okay,
a Boy
so I guess
Scout
we need to try you out on s'mores.
That might not be. It might not be a Canadian thing.
Oh,
could be.
Right. If I said butter tarts.
I have no idea what you're talking
any
about.
Any reaction? Butter tarts.
Butter tarts. No.
I knew her.
Like poutine. I'm like...
Yeah, poutine.
I've heard about that from Canadian people. I'm like, what?
But imagine, you know, a pecan pie. Anybody have a pecan pie?
Okay. Pecan pie or pecan.
Right. So take
I guess that would depend.
Pecan.
Pecan pie.
We're going to fight over this.
So yeah. Take your pecan pie and then shrink it down tart size.
Okay.
Take out the pecans. Uh-huh. That's a butter tart.
I'll take it.
There's like nothing. Okay.
It's the goo.
And some raisins.
No,
some goo, some raisins, and it's a tart form.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have those, I think.
Yeah. It's like, I noticed that when I was living in Seattle. It took me a while, and I'm like, but one day I just had this, like, you know, it's like a comfort food. You know, it's like when you had a really rough day, it's like six butter tarts are just the thing to get you through. And I go to the grocery store, and I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah, there's no butter tarts. There's no butter tarts. Yeah.
Oh my God. So,
okay, so that's our very first podcast, Soul Survivors. By the way, I shouldn't guess give you our email address. It's gokorea@gmail.com. That's go, G-O, and Korea. I'm not going to spell Korea. If you can't spell Korea, don't come here to teach.
It's not with a C.
Yeah, that's true, too. Spell it with a K.
I have some stickers that have it with a C, like Go Korea, C-O-R-E-A.
Okay, so let's see how. Okay, Go Korea, but Korea spelled with a K, at gmail.com. And our webpage is, again, gokorea.livejournal.com. So you can sort of check that out. Send us email if you have any questions you want us to answer on a future podcast. We'll definitely try to get to that. There's a lot of questions out there about this job, and we're more than happy to answer them. So, all right. So that's our first podcast. And John, thank you. Thank you for coming, John.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Sarah, thank you for coming.
Well, thank you.
All right. So I hope both of you can come back next week.
Hope so, too.
All right. Bye-bye.